Hi Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back, as we do every Monday between 2 to 3, where we discuss education, we discuss Chinuch, we discuss what we can do to make the world a better place, what we can do to be living in the place we want to be, influencing our families, our friends, our communities, just achieving, growing, learning, and getting into a better space in life. So we have been dealing with many different topics and many different issues lately, and now we are finally into a very extremely important topic that covers so much of our lives in the past few years, and that is, we're going to discuss today the benefits, the pros, the cons, the difficulties, the challenges, what are we gaining from the concept of working from home. Working from home has been a reality since I remember myself for many, many, many years. I'm starting to think that since I remember myself is too many years already, but it's always been there. However, since COVID came in, we've kind of took a role of, yeah, I remember the beginning of COVID. Yes, this is here to stay. We're only going to be with Zoom all the time, and we're never going to go into office anymore, and we're all in Zoom. And we know that's not the reality, and we know that's changed. And even though we got a lot of opportunity to work in other countries and in different societies and to connect, it still seems to be that it's not fully working to a point that we could work only remotely. And we are seeing many, many challenges that are coming from working at home, which we'll see based on time how much we can get to. I think we need to just start the discussion because there's so much to talk about. If there's anything you want to comment about this concept of working from home, 34519 is the SMS line. Telegram, you could send us at 061-895-1019. Or even call. I don't know, but yeah, let's give it a shot for once in the show. 087-055-1818. If you call, but specifically SMSs, your thoughts. What do you think about working from home? Is it a good idea? Is it viable? How does it work? And what are the prices we pay for it? Let's get to first know our guest today. I'm going to start with the one that we are going to need to introduce, because the other one, I think you all know her already very, very well, and different shows, but we'll get there. So first, good afternoon, Carly Myers.
Hi, nice to
you. So you are an industrial organizational psychologist, and you work with businesses, with companies, and obviously you are very familiar with this discussion about working from home, working from the business. Just let's get to know it. A few sentences about your work and what you do.
So thanks for having me. My name is Carly, and I'm an industrial psychologist. I work with different companies consulting regarding anything relating to the business and the people in the business. So my area of work is really understanding the invisible dynamics in businesses and trying to help companies work smart and create great environments for people to work in, be it remote or in person. So that's really the space that I play in.
We have to take an ad break, but when we come back, I really want to hear how you create a great environment for people to work in from remote, from home. That sounds fascinating and a very important concept. And we're even going to have to wait to introduce ourselves to the second guest till after the break. So a short break, and we will be right back.
The Chai Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back. And right before the break, we started just on this very important topic of how the idea of working from home is affecting our lives, our health, our behaviors, our work, our families, and everything around us, meaning the pros, the cons, and differences. So we already got to meet our first guest today, who is Carly Myers, who is an industrial psychologist who works with big companies managing this concept of creating comfortable and good, nice work environments. And my other guest today in the show and discussion is, I'm sure you're familiar with her, is Adrienne Bogatti. Adrienne, you know her from the Essen Fressen show. However, she does run her own business, and she does have a business that would, a few businesses, but the one we're going to focus on today is about supporting people that want to learn better about budgeting for their food and their finances when it comes to household expenses based on eating, I'd say, mainly. And you know how you manage that, which brings me to the thought that quite a bit of the effects that potentially we're going to discuss today as negative effects of not going outside and not being exposed to society and to people and not, you know, getting even your steps and your movement and everything where that comes into play also has to do with online shopping and how you do everything from your living room. So that would be definitely relevant to you. So good afternoon, Adrienne. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It feels weird being here on a Wednesday. A Monday.
Yeah, it's that's really weird. And then, okay, and a bit about your business.
So Cashering Your Life was started, I actually started it in 2016, so before online anything was a thing, because I am a natural introvert. I've had to learn to be an extrovert. And I started doing it when I realized that South Africa is so bad. You know, I listen to people telling me that eating healthy is so expensive, and, you know, they go to the shops 3, 4, 5 times a week. And I'm wondering, like, you keep kosher. How can you afford to go that often? You know, and they're tired of the same food, and they're tired of always being in the kitchen and cooking. And so I had started looking around, and I had all these American blogs, but there was nothing, never mind for South Africa, there's not really anything for the Southern Hemisphere. So every recipe I found was like all these winter things, and we're in the middle of a heat wave, you know, type thing. And I had to learn how to do it for myself.
So when you talk about the kosher eating, are you talking about from a financial point of view?
Absolutely.
Okay. Not the practical and the health and the managing.
No. So the health part obviously comes with the practical of eating healthily and eating well and still doing it on a budget. You know, when I started the blog, fish was actually cheaper than kosher meat. That's not the truth anymore. And we've all had to adapt our minds to the way we think about food, the way we think about our orders, the way we think about
literally
our whole lifestyle.
When you say that's not the case anymore, does anybody actually check the prices and things that change?
Me.
You. And that's what, because that's your business.
Yes.
But I'm talking about your customers.
A lot of people in life do notice that their budgets don't stretch as far as they used to. They're struggling, you know.
Would they notice that products that used to be more beneficial are now actually more expensive than other products? And not only the prices are going up, but you need to change your menu.
Some people do notice it. They notice it because all of a sudden they'll go to the shop. The ones that are there are people who are conscious of what they spend and more aware of it. And those are the people who are on fixed salaries, like a two-house income,
and
where there is an issue.
There are people that are more conscious and focused on what their spouses spend as well.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's a whole new, topic.
One of the blog posts that I once wrote was, never take your husband shopping.
Yeah, sounds like a good idea. Carly, from your side, Let's start looking into working from home and the benefits and the challenges. First of all, the companies you work with, the main vibe you're getting from the CEOs, from the big companies, where are we standing with working at home today, working remotely and working in office?
So I think things have changed, and they continue to change as we kind of move forward. I think that's really important as we progress. I think you'll see a lot of both. So you'll see companies that are pulling people back to the office full time, 5 days a week, 40 hours a week kind of thing. And you'll also see hybrid type of happening. There's less companies than there were in the beginning fully remote, but they do exist still. And I think the general trend is that overall, I think people prefer flexibility. So that is really quite open to interpretation, right? So what is flexibility and how far does it reach? So what we're seeing a lot of is companies kind of finding the hybrid of what's required in the job and required for the specific company.
I want to ask you first before we go there.
Sure.
Why are we seeing the change?
So I think there's a few things, right? And it is very company and industry dependent. And it's a bit difficult to answer that question so broadly. But when you look at the different companies, you always have to kind of look at what is the purpose, right? What is required? What does the role require? What does the job require? And I think the why, as you ask, is related to that. So often companies feel that the role can't be performed remotely, and where they can be performed remotely, people still want them to come back to the office because there's a sense of wanting to see people. Bums on desks means people are working, which is obviously a misinterpretation.
There's a level of lack of trust in a way, and that's why people want their employees back
in some organizations. Yes.
So it's not because their performance is better in the office.
Well, it's interesting because, again, there's no kind of one size fits all. And I think that's really the takeaway from where we go with this type of conversation, at least in my experience. There is no one size fits all. But yes, what we are seeing in certain organizations is that there's a lack of trust and people want to have face time with people. And so they want them to come back to the office. However, in more progressive organizations, you do see that hybrid where trust is there, but there is still that kind of skepticism and people start to come to the office to more collaborate or more perform types of tasks and activities and a strategic thinking type of work when they are in the office together versus at home. So it really does depend on the organization and what their objective is.
Okay. When people work from home, they do have their responsibilities at home, and they do worry about making sure they have what to eat later on for lunch or for supper or for their kids or for their families. How do you balance the responsibility? And that's the beauty of this discussion, because I want to hear from the food side and home side, and I want to hear from the business side how we balance that. And as always, when I really want to hear something, then Craig tells me we have to go for an ad. So we will go for a live read and ad break, and when we come back, we will get that discussion happening. In the meantime, anything you'd like to comment, 34519 is the SMS line, or Telegram 061-895-1019.
The High Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
101.9 High FM High Chinuch Show by G. We are back and we are discussing the topics and the benefits and the challenges of working from home versus going into the office and working with other people, etc. So right before the break, the question that I raised was, how do we delegate? How do we manage our responsibilities when we're working from home? When we're working from the office, it's very simple, very clear. All we have to do is ignore the 5,000 WhatsApps we get from our family and we can focus at work. But then when it comes to home, how do we get that clear boundary in between? And I'll start with Andrea, because you are coming from the side of managing the home and taking care of the home, and you know these responsibilities have to happen, and you talk about planning and organizing. So where does that come into play?
So one of the things, like I said, because most of us have domestic workers, we tend not to be regimented and organized in our daily lives. You know, you tell your helper, or she knows her routine, just don't change her routine because that'll destroy the house. They know a routine when you're not there. They have it, but you still keep getting asked, what's for supper? It doesn't matter who's asking you, or there's nothing to eat. Usually that question response means that there's nothing ready cooked to eat. There's millions of things in the cupboard, but there's nothing ready.
My kids like to tell me there's no food. When I say what there is, they say, that's not food, that's ingredients.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And that is a very common thing. And one of the things I learned, when you're working with people who are working from home and they're stuck at home, you've got to make clear boundaries, because the kids are coming in and out. They think nothing of coming to ask you for food when there's somebody actually in the front of the house who can get them the food. But because the parents are home, they're going to come in. But taking your mind off what you're going to still make so that you can be productive at work takes planning and organization. And one of the greatest things that I have learned over the years is that if you can prep your meals on, say, like a Sunday, you can prep them three quarters for the entire week and just pop them in the oven or in your slow cooker or whatever needs to be done on that day and not worry about it. And because you've already done the prep, you're not going to forget about it and go, I don't feel like cooking, because you know consciously, you can see it, it's going to waste food.
I many times hear from householders that they'll tell me that the majority, or at least 50% of the time of preparing a meal, goes to the decision of what I'm going to prepare.
Right.
And you could spend 20 minutes cooking and about 8 hours obsessing about what am I going to make for supper tonight.
Which is why you do it once a week.
Okay, exactly. Which works for some people. And But even besides for the prep, meaning that concept of being able to, you know, being organized and put together.
Yes.
However, you did bring up a very important concept of there's no real boundaries with the other people in the house. They will come in and disturb. They will come in and comment. To the point, even people that were doing TV shows and broadcasting from home, saw their kids jumping into the room. So, and by the way, I don't know if there's relevance also to pets and distractions
definitely.
From there.
Absolutely.
Okay. So how does that work from a business side of things? Kelly?
But just building on what you've shared already, I think, you know, the value to preparation is so helpful. But also what we see when you are working from home, you can start your preparations in the middle of the day, leave it in the slow cooker, leave it on, you know, and continue working so that the pressure after work becomes a little less and a little bit more manageable. So I think there's pros and cons to everything, right?
So let's hear some of the benefits.
So the benefits from a work perspective.
Yeah. Yes. Why would it be worth it to work from home?
Well, people have a lot more flexibility. They don't sit in traffic. They don't feel agitated and irritated when they get to the office or when they get home. So in a sense, the one version of it is that people get the better side of any individual when they're less frustrated or irritated.
But people don't get home. Meaning when you leave the office and you get home, now you're home, you're calm. But when you are working all day in front of your computer, now you turned off your computer, nothing really changed.
You see it both ways. So I think when, you know, I'm sure everyone's experienced a bad day at work and you're feeling really yuck.
I've heard about that, yeah.
After the day. You're one person. So the person that you take home with you is still the same person. So there is going to be this crossover from your work life into your personal life. So the value of working from home can sometimes be the frustrating part about working from home, depending on the person and depending on the way they set their boundaries. So if somebody is the kind of person that likes a lot of boundaries and likes that separation, they may find it easier or harder to work from home. Whereas somebody who that kind of takes that not a lot of separation, so they finish their workday, they close their laptop, they're in a mood because they've had a rough day at work, and now they step into the next room and they're still in that mood. Or they might be the kind of person that can close their laptop, feels this kind of relief of energy that the day is done and they can step in and just kind of receive the love of their family. So you do get similar things that show up when you're working from home or remotely. It just really does depend on the kind of person and the way that everybody is.
So if it's so individual, how do companies make a decision?
It's a great question, and I think that it's again, like, it does depend on the company and what's required. It goes back to purpose. What is the purpose of their job? What is the purpose of the team? And I think this only works when you've got tuned in leadership that are able to meet their people where they're at and understand what's needed for their role, as well as understand what's needed for the team and the organization, and then to collectively and co-create with their team what's actually going to work for them. Because people feel that they're able to bring their best self to work when they have a sense of ownership of making their own choices. So when you can build a team that is able to collectively decide, okay guys, should we come to the office 5 days a week? Should we come twice a week? Which days should they be? How are we going to work when we remote? How do we set the kind of rituals and collaborative moments when we remote, when we're in the office, so that we can together agree on the way of work in which the team kind of operates? And that really tends to spiral into people taking ownership and it working, and then creating space for people to actually share feedback with each other and say what's working and what's not. So it does have to evolve and progress as the kind of team evolves and progresses with the challenges that they're facing. Does that make sense?
It's very interesting, and I want to comment that. But beforehand, I just think, Andrew, when I commented about, the lack of boundaries and the mm-hmm. fact that when you come home you're calm, and then it seemed like you disagreed.
So some people, I think, aren't able to switch off their work-life balance. A lot of people who are natural workaholics are going to find this working from home almost impossible to do because there is no switch off. On the other hand, the people who are very much orientated, I think what companies might have found, I don't know if that's the way it is the online working or the working remotely worked really well. People can work with their productivity. When are they best? So I had a family member who would start his online work at like 6 a.m, but he was done by 2. Whereas the other family member is only awake from like 2 o'clock, like functioning, and can work well into the night quite easily. So I think that's a benefit of the online, is the you were saying flexibility earlier. But also in terms of flexibility from the cooking side is, who says you have to cook supper at supper time?
Yeah.
100%. So I do want to go back to this discussion from a company point of view. Because something very interesting that, based on what you're saying, is, you know, we're seeing a shift in the world. I mean, growing up, I knew a lot of people that worked 40 years in the same company.
Yes.
And they've been there forever, and that was their life, that was their identity. They had friends from there. They had a sense of community. As life changed and all the different reasons that, you know, from changing jobs and the benefits and us being a very agitated generation and everything there, life at work is much more limited. And then we saw a few years ago, before COVID, we saw a lot of companies investing a lot of money into people that their job was to make a nice work environment, make sure the workers feel connected and feel part and feel almost like a sense of bringing back that family concept into the working place, so people will also feel very productive and responsible and connected and feel that ownership. And now that we're shifting to this point of, okay, we can decide to work from home, we can decide to work from the company, from work, we can decide to change, we're going back to this pure work benefit thing that as soon as, and if I don't have a friendship with my boss and if I don't see him every day or pass there or smile at each other or no birthdays there or things like that, even if you do get an email from your company, oh, happy birthday, whatever, all of that, that potentially could put the companies in a less stable place, that people will just get a better offer and go because there's no connection whatsoever with the social environment at work. Are you seeing that?
So I think what you're really talking about is retention, right, in organizations. How do you retain people that are that are loyal to the company and stay with the company?
But I think that working from home is making it harder for the companies in
a
way.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that links to what I was saying earlier, that we have to evolve, right? So companies need to evolve with the times that are evolving. And I think if organizations take a solid, strong approach that we will not work remotely and we will only work 5 days a week no matter what, and there's no rationale as to the fact that, for example, like you can't be an engineer working on a car if you are at home. You know, like that's not practical, or there's like tons of examples like that. So unless there's a very clear and understandable reason as to why we have to be at the office 5 days a week, you are going to find people feeling frustrated because there's many places that they enable them to work remotely, pursue other areas of their life that are important to them, be with their family. And so, yes, I do think we need to organize, and they have. I think organizations are open to that and are developing in that way to kind of craft the space that is most most valuable to the people in the organization, because at the end of the day, they're doing the work that's making the company successful. And that's a lot of the work that I do with my clients, is try to create the structures and the spaces to meet the teams where they're at, to enable them, because why should we disable them from doing a great job so they're unhappy at work and they're not doing their best work and expect the company to grow? It's like, it's backwards. So we do need to kind of progress.
But are they going to be less happy? Because, you know, at the end of the day, there's always a rationale. No CEO of a company woke up in the morning and said, you know what, I feel like spending $100,000 a month on rent for a huge office space because I feel like my workers here. There is a reason for the company to have their workers there.
Sure, but the reason needs to be challenged, needs to be carefully considered. Of course, we can create any reason we want, but when it doesn't have solid roots to it that is believable by the people in the business, they're not going to trust the leaders. Why are you making me do something that makes no sense? So if there's logic, and that's where change management comes in, right? So if we're going to make the move to say, okay, we're going to move back to the office 5 days a week or 3 days a week or one day, whatever it is, people need to and feel supported through that change to understand why it's happening, understand the awareness around what's happening, why it's happening, why should I desire this? So you need to help people move them through that space to help gain the buy-in. Otherwise, yes, exactly, you lose them and then they start to like disengage from work and they're quite equipped.
and we're obviously facing, you know, big challenges when you talk about just the concept of lack of trust sometimes and worry about work. And to be fair, I mean, we do know that when there's other people in the house, they will come in and knock and disturb, and they will bet that dynamic, and boundaries will be lost, which is where I really want to go with this discussion now is what is the toll that people that are working at home are paying, even if they want to. Yeah. And I'll bring an analogy, and then we'll go from there, because Andrew, for sure, you're in the health and the food and that space. If we take schooling, okay, this is not going to be a discussion about homeschooling and private schooling and schooling or whatever. One thing that has come up very strongly with my discussions with the homeschooling community as a concern was that the kids that are homeschooling lose out on physical movement. They do not have the amount of steps that are needed. They don't climb, they don't walk, they don't climb steps, they don't run, they don't have that physical movement, which is a huge spike in anxiety as well, because we need that movement. We need physically to be in a good shape. And the other thing that came up is lack of social interactions and worries with people. Going from there to companies, so maybe there is a 25-year-old, a 30-year-old, or whatever, who feels very comfortable working from home and doesn't want to sit in traffic. Not that South Africans know what real traffic is, but that's all different. But whatever it is, okay? But then when they start paying the price of getting 2,000 steps on their watch instead of 10,000 steps, and not eating properly, and not being in that social environment, and not being connected, and the conflicts between workers. When you have a coworker that you have an issue with, it's so much easier when you're closer. You could just manage it. What is that toll having on society? And let's forget the companies right now. Society, what is it doing to us? Carly, you want to go first? Or
sure.
Andrea?
Well, do you want to go first? You can go first.
Okay. So one of the things that obviously COVID was a big important role is the spike in depression.
Yeah.
Because social people need to be sociable. And here they were like, literally cut off from everybody except a screen, which didn't work. But then if you had kids who were like, or even adults who really are screen shy, having a Zoom meeting where you can see your face and you can see yourself talking, that was very off-putting, and a lot of people try to avoid that. But also, you're at home, you've got all your work stuff, so you start to almost like, I wouldn't call it hoarding, but your environment becomes very crowded. And one thing about the buildup of all that clutter is it's going to play a huge role on your productivity, on your mood, on your feeling like getting up to go exercise or to go get something from the kitchen. People aren't walking around. They weren't. You were sitting, and for most part, people were sitting on their beds working. So they weren't even getting up to go to a different room to work. I don't know if you found that. Like, they got stuck in this little bubble and didn't move out of it. And that can be quite a negative impact. It impacts how you run your home. It impacts your interactions with your family, because it's a situational depression, I think
your
you would
sensory,
call it.
Your sensory, your patience.
Everything is
everything.
Gone.
Okay.
So you're sitting at home, you've done nothing, in inverted commas, because you've been working all day on your bed. Getting up to go feed your family is the last thing you feel like doing, even though you actually haven't done anything. Whereas getting out, I think for some people, getting out, getting dressed, going to an office, even if it's only for an hour, starts your day, starts your productivity, and sort of puts you in a mood for the rest of the day. And I did notice it. I noticed it a lot on the days where I didn't have to go in anywhere. I didn't do anything, you know.
So if your child would consult with you and say, I work in a company that I can choose both, you would say, no, go to work.
No, I would say do a hybrid.
Why?
Because you don't always feel like facing people. You have moods. You have not feeling great. You're not feeling great, but you're not sick enough to take a day off work, or you can't afford your sick leave. So work from home. Work at your own pace if you can. If you're going to be more productive in a quiet environment and have your snacks next to you, and obviously choosing healthy snacks, always. you know, that's the important thing.
Realistically, in the long run, we know what the effect will do on their exercise and on
right,
their patience.
So you've obviously
got
to change your meal plan for
and
that.
Okay, we'll get there in a moment. We do need to take another break, and when we come back, I'd love to hear from you, Carly.
Chai Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back and we are in the middle of a discussion regarding the worries and concerns and the benefits and all the great things that happen and the challenging things that happen when we are working from remote to our offices and the impact we had. It's been a great discussion, I have to say. Even when the mics were off, we're all into it and having our opinions. So I did stop you right before the break, Carly. Your thoughts and kind of where does that come into play when we're seeing the challenges that are happening when people on mental health, when people don't move and go out and connect. And
So as an individual, personally, I'm an extrovert. So I like the social interactions. I like to meet people face to face. I like to move. I like to get out. I find it very difficult to be inside all the time. Those that know me will definitely be able to see that. And I think COVID, on a personality like that, that likes that kind of interactions with people, COVID was very tough. Remote working solely, like 5 days a week, is very tough. There is the flip side to that. For people who are more introverted and who feel energized being at home, the remote working works for them. However, again, we're going to have to come back to the organization and to the purpose of what you are being paid to do when you come to work and what you need to achieve through actually being employed by this particular company and what your job requires. And the bottom line that I'm seeing through so many of my clients is that When an organization first needs to look at, or a team needs to look at, what does our team need to achieve? What is the best way in which for us to achieve that? So generally speaking, a hybrid works, and how that hybrid works is totally up to the team. So establishing a team and understanding, okay, well, are we going to be at the office 2 days a week? Okay, fine, let's be two days a week. When we're not at the office, how are we going to interact? Okay, so, you know, FaceTime online, so to speak. So call our office hours, even though you're online, or let's say from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thereafter, the rest of your workday, you can get done whenever you want, but we're going to collaborate all online at that particular time. For example, right? Every team is different that I work with. So in terms of the energy, that we need to think about how, as an organization or as a team, how do we enhance the energy of the team? How can we play to people's strengths? How can we enable people to work most effectively? That is a very important conversation, but it is slightly different, although related, to people's health in general. So people also have to take ownership of their health and realize that if they stay indoors and they never go outside just because they're working from home, that's not the organization's fault. They need to own themselves and actually exercise and move around and engage with people. But I think, just to summarize, both are very important and both have advantages and disadvantages, and we need to kind of play to the requirements.
But are you
needed.
Looking at the long-term stability of the company? Because
absolutely,
if in 5 years you're going to have 10% more sick leaves in the company, then the company is going to lose money. Forget the worry about the health of the employees. I'm talking about financially. You need your workers to be energized long-term and in that space.
For sure.
So it almost sounds like the discussion about being dynamic and being productive now is overseeing how our workers are going to be productive in 5 years or 10 years from now. And I'll give you an example. I had a psychologist who came to see my offices in discussion, and just to explain where I work, my offices, we have a very large team of professionals that work by us, OTs, physio, speech, dynamic, all therapists, etc. And she told me that she, for the past 20 years, worked, she had a clinic at home. It was important for her. She could prepare her meals properly between sessions, make sure the kids are organized. She loved it. It was the best thing. And now, looking back, she's realized how the last few years has put her in a very isolated, with lack of productivity space even, and in a very difficult thing that happened on the long run. So for the first 10, 15 years, she was very happy, but now she's really struggling with her physical, with her connection, social, emotional. And is that not a discussion we need to have? I think for it our society and the, and the future.
I think it does go, there is a relationship to it. And I think that organizations can help enable people. I think collaboration moments, team building moments, engagement moments, those things are paramount of paramount importance, be it the versions of them online and the versions of them in person. And both are very important if you're going to be in both of these in these dynamics. The types of companies that exist do vary in terms of what's going to work best for them. So, I mean, there's tons of companies in the world that operate fully remote. They don't have offices, you know, and they are really great businesses that have done very well. They've taken that model, right? Whereas other companies, it just doesn't work. And there's,
for what companies would you say the best thing is remote completely?
Pardon? Say again?
Is there an industry that it would be better to have your workers in remote?
So I think, again, so for example, in certain consulting companies, it can work very effectively because you have significant more hours in the day than traveling to and from clients when you're able to kind of...
Correct.
So you're able to be more productive in that sense using each hour instead of spending 2 hours a day traveling between different clients. So, I mean, I've personally experienced that. A lot of my colleagues and partners have in the world of consulting. So that's one example where remote working can really help. It also enables us to consult and provide services to a wider network. So that's one example.
Okay, so that is important. Although, again, yes, the therapists are really struggling with traveling, and because every 45 minutes is another session. At the same time, there's a limit of what you need to do, and there is that huge benefit of, you know,
and
energized. But because we're running out of time completely, I do want to get into one more point that's I'm very curious about, because it seems to be very clear that if you're working from home, you're using less energy, you're not walking as much, you're not moving as much, you're not in that physical space. And what I'm wondering, Andrea, for your business, when you consult people how to plan their meals correctly, how to budget their meals, how to, you know, prepare, does the level of movement and dynamic that the client has in life affect their meal planning and
Absolutely. 100%. One of the things that I do talk about, especially like if you've got kids, young kids, and they've got all these extra murals and stuff, is you've got to plan your meals because you're now going to plan lunch as well. Meals that can be eaten in the car that'll give the kids enough energy to keep going for the sports day or whatever they're doing, but not overload them with sugar, which gives you instant energy, but it's not great in the long term. But not only for the kids, for the moms who always complain, I don't have time to eat, I'm always in the car. Foods that you can eat in the car that aren't going to produce sugar that you need to exercise off.
Okay.
Can I add to that?
Yes.
I think it's so important, the value of food in relation to how your workday flies. So,
absolutely.
I mean, even when you're working remotely and you are so much closer to the kitchen and you are so much closer to picking up the next snack, when you're reaching for a fruit versus sucker, the impact is quite significant.
Both are going to give you energy. One's just going to last better.
100%. But I'm curious, if I would go today onto any app that will diet app, I'm sure there's millions of them, and I know they'll ask me for my weight and for my height and for my gender and for my whatever. Would they ask me how many steps do you do a day on average?
They do ask your activity levels.
Yeah. Activity on what measures?
Like how many hours a day in front of the computer, how much exercise do you get per week and per day, like cardio exercise as well as strength and training.
Does remote work come into one
computers,
of the questions?
Computers. In front of the computer. That's
Okay, well, maybe we'll get there.
Yeah.
But not going into work. Maybe one day shopping, if you're shopping online or shopping in shops, should also be a factor. We'll see. Okay, short break and we will come right back.
The Chai Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch Rabbi G. We are back, and actually really towards the end of today's show. A very important discussion, and the beauty of today's discussion was it wasn't that many conclusions, but really an understanding that it's a real question, and we really need to look after ourselves and our health and our worries and our planning and everything in life. To end off the show, I'm going to ask the one question that I always ask, and I'm going to give you each one, about 30 seconds to answer because we really ran out of time. Seeing where we are today in our society, in working society, in family, in home, in planning, and everything, what do you wish? What do you hope? What do you wish to see in our society in 5 years from now? What do you hope we gain?
So for me, it's understanding that mental health plays such a huge role, not only in what you eat and how you prepare it, but just in your life in general, and how food can play a part in actually making you feel better or worse. That's my thing, is that people become
awareness
aware of it.
And connection.
Cool. So I have so much to say, but I'm going to just leave it to the organization, because that's what I'm talking about today in the work world, because I could talk for a long time on that. I think what I'm hoping to see is that one's experience at work enables them to have to live a more fulfilling life, both in the organization and its impact in their personal life. And I think those two interlink all the time. So I hope that we can kind of continue to nurture and culture that space so that there's more positivity coming through the world of work.
And getting that connection in that place. Mm. You know, just to see how integrated we are, it's so amazing throughout the show, how many times Andrea, as a food professional, spoke about mental health and psychology, and you as a psychologist kept on speaking about the food and eating and seeing how everything really is integrated one within each other. It's really fascinating and important that we do look into our holistically into our lives, into what we do and need to do. It's fascinating to see the discussion, and I'm sure that discussion will stay and continue for a very long time. Just to end off with one more question, because I'm going to ask Carly, because I think it's extremely important. When you look at today's youngsters going into the societal work, do you view a world of stability, connection, happiness in that work, or is work becoming more and more just like something you have to do, kind of do, not really be involved in?
That's a very, very complex question for last for a few seconds.
Save the last for the best. The best for the last.
I think, look, a short answer is that I think the world of work needs to serve the people, and the people need to serve the world of work. So It's a very complicated question to answer so quickly, and I'm seeing that everyone's pointing at the time, so I'm not sure how much I can answer.
Okay, Carly, I think you're doing very well with this interview, and I know you have, besides psychology, also music, but maybe also politics. I think you're very diplomatic. We can go and see as another area of work. But anyways, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks for
having
us.
Thank you so much, Andrea Bogatti, who has joined our show today, even though you all know her from the other show, as I said, from the SM Fresen, and being with us and having this discussion. Thank you, Carly Myers, who is a industrial organizational psychologist, and for all the work you're doing with the companies and bringing that view. Thank you to Sana, who put this interview together and organized it. Thank you, Craig, for managing the show perfectly, and more so, thank you to our listeners. And thank you for the SMSs that came in. I didn't read them, but they were well addressed from the relevance. So thank you. Thank you to everybody. Stay safe. As the professionals told you today, make sure to eat, look after yourself, stay focused, and be prepared and organized. And we will be back, as usual, next Monday, 2 to 3, discussing more ways and more important topics to improve ourselves, our lives, and our community.